city, it feels like a physical death, because this is such a physical, dynamic gene key. You have to put your entire being on the line. All your plans, creativity, work, intent, and service must be surrendered into a single vanishing point. When this event arrives, there is no mistaking it. It comes with a guarantee that you will transcend. There are no failures in this sense. You can only move through the tunnel of agony until it turns into ecstasy. Liberation is one of the strangest of phenomena. It is perceived by the unliberated as an experience, even though it is not an experience, since there is no one to experience it. Even though liberation is often described as an event, it is not an event. Even though it appears to happen within time, it does not. It occurs outside of time. There are no sounds that can be vibrated that resonate with this phenomenon. There are no words to describe liberation because there is no process to describe. It is perhaps best understood as analogous to dying. Liberation is beautifully represented through the metaphor of the warrior's death. The warrior's life is one of preparation, adversity, energy, and finally, death. The perfect death for the warrior is to die in battle. In ancient society, it was a great honor for the warrior to die in battle. The 38th city is the city of honor. All of this is a metaphor for something that exists at a much higher level than we generally realize. Of course, the warrior is you, the independent human being. Your battlefield is the world, and the war is life. The true warrior is the one who is willing to die for the highest cause, whether that is represented by your country, your cause, your brothers and sisters, or your children. The important part of the metaphor is that the warrior has to give his or her life for another, just as Christ died for humanity upon the cross. As in all of the great legends and stories, there is always a rebirth that takes place after the warrior has given his life for a higher cause. This rebirth is liberation, and it occurs only after great effort and many trials. This is the way of the 39th gene key, and the reward is the annihilation of fear through the death of the smaller self. This is the true meaning and symbolism of the warrior, and is why we all aspire to it. Liberation may sound similar to freedom, but there are subtle and important differences. Freedom represents the 55th gene key. There is, in fact, a deep connection between the 55th and 39th gene keys. At the Siddhic level, the resonance of each word is precise and specific. Liberation is a provocative energy. It tests and challenges those who are drawn to it. The person manifesting the city of liberation is profoundly dangerous to be around, not in the sense of physical danger, but in the sense of the shadow patterns. This is not a person that treads lightly around you. This is a force that bores right into the heart of your low-frequency patterns and strips you down to the bones of your true being. These are the teachers who direct the force of their love right at the weakest chink in your armor. Just as the lower frequency of this gene key pushes your buttons out of reaction, the sage displaying the 39th city will use any technique at their disposal to test the limits of your surrender. If you take anything personally, then you still have limits to your surrender. The 39th gene key is related to the 55th gene key in the same way in which a spring mechanism releases an explosive energy. When all human seeking has exhausted itself, a great need to act arises, and this pressure is currently building within all human DNA. Life itself is struggling to transcend its struggle through human beings, and the 39th shadow builds the tension for change until it is released through the human genome as the city of liberation. Even before the mutation of the 55th gene key, therefore, we will hear the dynamic explosion of this energy, which provokes the mutation itself. Thus, we will see how the energy of liberation ultimately provokes the realization of freedom. 40th Gene Key. The Will to Surrender. Programming Partner, 37th Gene Key. Codon Ring, The Ring of Alchemy. 6, 40, 47, 64. Physiology, Stomach. Amino acid, glycine. The 40th shadow, exhaustion. The energetics of force and will. The 40th gene key and its shadow concern the correct or incorrect use of the power of the human will. The secret of this gene key is found in the difference between the words energy and force. Energy in this context refers to the natural vitality that flows into your actions in the world. Whenever your actions are in alignment with the universe, the requisite energy is supplied from deep within your being. However, when your actions do not flow from your true source but are forced, your energy will be depleted. The malfunctioning of the 40th shadow is deeply connected to the conversion of food and liquid into energy through the medium of the stomach. In the age-old traditions of Oriental medicine, the overall health of the human body is seen in terms of its vitality, or qi. According to this tradition, there are two forms of qi: prenatal qi, which is the inherited vitality that you are born with and which governs your eventual age, and postnatal qi, which you extract from food and nature. The Oriental approach to health is based upon conserving your prenatal qi wherever possible, while at the same time boosting your postnatal qi. The 40th shadow of exhaustion comes about due to ineffective energy conversion of food and liquid into postnatal qi, resulting in the body having to draw upon its precious reserves of prenatal qi. Coupled with its programming partner, the 37th shadow of weakness, these two low-frequency energy patterns gradually wear human beings down to the bone. Like all 32 of the shadow pairings, this process is a vicious cycle. At the higher levels of frequency, the 40th gene key is actually responsible for transforming our civilization and society through fruitful alliances, solid boundaries, and mutually beneficial exchanges between individuals, communities, and even entire nations. However, the 40th gene key has the gift of resolve, which means that people with this gene key in their hologenetic profile are born with great willpower, a greatly misunderstood human faculty. We usually see willpower as something that all human beings can access as long as they have the inner strength. There is a credo in the West that says, if you want something badly enough, you can always make it happen. It's simply a matter of willpower. This is the kind of conditioning that the 40th shadow feeds on. Willpower, used in the wrong direction, becomes force. And even though it may still succeed in its endeavor, the results to the body will be catastrophic and irreversible. When someone begins to force their life away from its natural direction, problems related to the stomach and to digestion crop up. Because the energy from food is not being properly converted, there is usually a build-up in stomach acid that over time can lead to all kinds of far more serious problems, ranging from ulcers to full-blown cancer. The incorrect use of your will also puts an enormous strain on your kidneys and adrenals as the body struggles to supply the energy to push against the universal flow. The result in the long run is premature aging, disease, and exhaustion. For most human beings, this is the normal way. Even so, the human body is an incredibly tough organism and can sustain an enormous amount of punishment. There are two ways in which the 40th shadow can overwhelm you, either through attempting to force your own willpower without having adequate support from others, or from allowing others to take advantage of your weak willpower and giving in to compromise. This latter scenario is very common among the business community, where people work in jobs with little or no resolve and for fees that are far too low. The problem is that when you compromise and work in a job that doesn't allow your spirit room to breathe, your low frequency actually reinforces your low self-esteem, so you accept whatever you are paid. Another way in which the 40th shadow works is through individual force of will. These are the people on the other end of the same dynamic, the slave drivers who take advantage of the people with the weak willpower. Such people isolate themselves from others, becoming lost in their own ambitions and their addiction to work. The steady energy drain on their core vitality lowers their frequency and closes their hearts to others. Despite this, such people often maintain their direction through sheer force of will, but at the cost of their very humanity. As you will see, the most important secret to this gene key is the art of relaxation. For those under the influence of the 40th shadow, relaxation is virtually impossible. In point of fact, true relaxation is one of the most absent qualities in civilization today. The 40th shadow is partly responsible for another low-frequency human state, that of loneliness or isolation. When you work at something you love, using your energy harmoniously, you automatically activate support from others and therefore do not feel lonely. However, when you push against the flow or give in to someone else's flow, loneliness always rears its head. When you allow your energy to be misused by another, which is the repressive nature of this gene key, your natural support network is withdrawn, giving you the feeling of being cut off from life, when in fact it is your own action or lack of action that has caused this state. Yet another manifestation of this shadow frequency is a type of loneliness that comes when individuals isolate themselves from others through their refusal of support or by constantly biting the hand that feeds them. This is a typical behavior pattern of the reactive nature of this shadow. This latter brand of loneliness is less obvious because such willful people often appear to have great strength and independence, whereas in reality, at a more unconscious level, they are just as weak and lonely as the repressive side. The 40th shadow is adept at denial, and its prime denial concerns feelings. People with this shadow active often deny the fact that they have feelings, and it is this denial that ultimately leads to their downfall. Whenever human beings emotionally isolate themselves from others, they put themselves in great danger. The subtle quantum field, known as the astral plane, simply makes it impossible to separate yourself from other human beings. This kind of denial turns the negative frequencies in on themselves, driving them deep into your body, where they will gradually become more and more acidic, eating away at you. The 40th shadow is one of the most deep-seated causes of cancerous diseases on our planet. It takes root whenever someone is unable or unwilling to face and feel the depth of their emotional pain. It is through this gene key that you have to deal with the fact that you alone are responsible for your health on all levels. Although others can offer you support and at times hold your hand, it is you alone who must face your life and all that it brings you. Repressive nature, acquiescent. These are people who lack firm boundaries in life. People with this nature easily acquiesce to manipulation by others, lacking the will to stand up for themselves. This permissive habit is rooted in denial of one's own needs, typically arising from patterns and coping strategies that developed in childhood. These people will give up themselves tirelessly, and usually to people of organizations that never really care about them. This 40th shadow drains people who do not value themselves and their energy enough. When such people come out of their denial and make a stand for themselves, and themselves alone, their life can dramatically improve. Reactive nature, contemptuous. The reactive side of this shadow is about the denial of rage. Like the fear of the repressive nature, this rage has its roots in a difficult childhood. This kind of denial distorts the rage into contempt for others. These people can be extremely arrogant. They prey on the weaknesses of others for their own benefit. Such a sustained, disdainful attitude means that these people cannot afford to allow anyone to get too close to them. This reactive denial feeds on disrespect for others, and thus people with this reactive nature gradually erode their energy by cutting away all their support. Because their strong will is fueled by unconscious rage, they do not often appear to be exhausted, but inside, their constant need to isolate themselves from their community takes its toll in the end. The 40th gift, resolve, the lost art of doing nothing. When you activate the 40th gene key at a higher frequency, exhaustion becomes a thing of the past. When your life force is aligned correctly, you will discover that there is a vast amount of energy available to you. The same forces that drive the shadow also drive the gift, but the result is completely different. Everything about this 40th gene key is about having boundaries, and in order to create boundaries, you have to be able to deny other people access to your energy. You have to be able to say no. The correct use of this kind of isolation ensures that neither your energy nor your resources are ever depleted. The energy that goes into isolation can be a wonderful ally in life if used correctly. It is this ability to set personal boundaries around your energy and your time that gives rise to the gift of resolve. The 40th gift of resolve is about becoming adept at giving to yourself. Ultimately, it is about deep physical relaxation. It is that wonderful balance between serving the world and serving your own enjoyment. True resolve is not possible unless you know how to relax. Many people in the hectic modern world mistake the word rest with the word relaxation. We all need rest, yet perhaps even more, we need relaxation. Rest allows the physical body to recharge, but relaxation allows all of our subtle bodies to recharge as well. When we relax fully, our emotional and mental health is assured as well as our physical health. The 40th gift is a genetic reminder inside each of us of the great importance of relaxation in life. Life was never designed to be as hard as we humans sometimes make it. We have even designed a world that forces us to expend our willpower beyond what is comfortable and natural. The 40th gift, then, is a gift that knows how to save energy at all levels. It knows the great mystical importance of Wu Wei, the timeless art of doing nothing. For a person with the gift of resolve, nothing is really an effort because nothing has to be forced. These people may work extremely hard and use a great deal of energy, but unlike the shadow, they do not exhaust themselves. They know when to stop, and more importantly, they know when to say no. Work that is in harmony with your true nature is not really work at all. In this sense, it doesn't require willpower. Resolve means that willpower is built into the activity from the outset, so it flows effortlessly out of you, rather than having to be forced. In addition to this sense of effortlessness, the 40th gift engenders a great deal of respect and support from others. Unlike the shadow frequency, people living at the gift level do not feel a distrust of support, even though they will always maintain the integrity of their own space. These people actually inspire support and help from others. They often become the backbone of teams or projects because of their sheer power of their resolve. The other aspect of this 40th gift is a truly magical insight that is applicable to everyone, regardless of their genetic predispositions. Sometimes saying no to the right thing brings as much power as saying yes, and in some cases it brings even more power. People with the 40th gift act as agents of nature. If their resolve does not allow them to do something or offer someone their resources, then that person belongs somewhere else in the grand scheme of things. Even though the other may be disappointed or resentful at first, in the end, they will see that the flow was correct for both parties. To say a firm and resolute no to the right person or thing is to stand rooted in the ground of your true being. Resolve is more than just willpower or determination. It is the flowering of your aloneness. This 40th gift thrives on solitude. The source of all your power lies in your love of being alone. This does not mean to say that people with this gene key in their hologenetic profile always have to be alone. It means that they do not suffer from loneliness because their life force is constantly in the process of giving birth. This inner abundance gives terrific strength to your aura and is likely to make you much sought after by others. The 40th gift is a genetic balance to its programming partner, the 37th gift of equality. Whereas the nature of the 37th gift is to endlessly offer support and succor to others, the 40th gift balances this through ensuring that you always have enough time, space, and enjoyment for yourself. Every human being has to eventually learn from this gift. It brings balance to our lives by reminding us of the true power of our aloneness. In the words of the poet Rilke, "The individual who senses his aloneness, and only he, is like a thing subject to the deep laws, the cosmic laws. If a person goes out into the dawn, or gazes out into the evening filled with happenings, if he senses what happens there, then all situations fall away from him as from someone dead, even though he stands in the midst of life." The 40th Siddhi, Divine Will, Complete Physical Relaxation. At the highest frequencies, the gift of resolve becomes transformed into pure divine will. In many mystical pantheons, the qualities of the divine are divided into three main cosmic organs, the divine mind, the divine heart, and the divine will. Of these three, divine will is usually seen as the primary faculty out of which the other two emerge. The entire notion of the existence of a divine will is an aspect of humanity's need to know that there is some kind of beneficial force that controls the universe. In other words, this 40th Siddhi actually concerns our perception of the existence of God. Two polarities within our genetics, the 37th and the 40th gene keys, form the bedrock of our beliefs and experience concerning the existence of a higher power. If we look at the 37th Siddhi of tenderness, we can see that all those who have attained realization through the 37th Siddhi have left an imprint within the collective psyche of humanity concerning the nature of the divine, and this imprint reflects a deeply tender and loving force underlying all creation. This tenderness is reflected in all mythologies and world religions that see the divine force as either a mother or father figure. In this view, we humans are seen as the children of God. However, when you look through the 40th Siddhi, you see an entirely different picture, one that has caused great confusion amongst mystical seekers for millennia. Masters who have attained the 40th Siddhi are the great mystical deniers of God. Just as the 40th shadow denies its own or others' needs, the 40th Siddhi denies humanity's need for a God in the first place. This is an extremely powerful expression of the Siddhic state, because whenever it appears in the world, it essentially throws human seekers into a panic. When a man or woman has attained the ultimate Siddhic state, known as enlightenment, an undeniable energy emerges from them, the pure energy of consciousness itself. Such people speak with great power. Humanity's collective need to know that God exists is actually a need based on our deepest fear, the fear that we are alone in a godless universe. When the 40th Siddhi expresses its divinity, it ironically does so by denying the existence of any separation between humanity and divinity. In doing this, the 40th Siddhi forces humans to confront one of the great problems of seekers, that the seeking itself gets in the way of ultimate realization. If someone attains a Siddhic state through this 40th gene key, they will have done it in spite of God. This is the path of the mystical denial of the need for help from a god. Such people will follow no other teaching or master, but will travel their path absolutely alone. When they attain to the highest state, they will often speak about it in the terms of their denial. When the 40th Siddhi speaks, it will say that there is no path to God because there is no God outside of your aloneness. They may say that all holy practices and methods of seeking God are futile. They may not even talk about their state as mystical or spiritual. These are people who often refute the whole notion of spirituality and holiness. Because of their radical position, such masters are not generally popular with the masses, or even with most seekers, but the vibration behind their words is undeniable to anyone who comes near them. The 40th Siddhi exudes an aura of splendid aloneness and displays an exquisite independence from the normal needs of human beings. Their words are simple, logical, penetrating, and sometimes deeply shocking. This is how consciousness uses denial as a means to bring others into deeper authenticity by destroying all your human hopes of attaining a godlike state. Ironically, it is only when your hopes have been dashed that you are empty enough to experience such a state. These are deeply paradoxical teachings. As you can see, the Siddhi of divine will is riddled with paradox. To those outside the Siddhic state, divine will seems like such a powerful concept. There is a reason behind everything, and that ultimately everything remains in the hands of a higher force. To the one immersed in this 40th Siddhi, the paradox is wonderful, that God can only visit you when you are not there. When the experience does happen, the paradox is revealed in all its glory. Every human being is a point of divine will, and yet nothing exists outside of humanity. From this viewpoint, you are absolutely free to do as you wish in life, and yet at the same time, nothing you do is really in your hands. Within this Siddhi lies the great mystery of free will and the state that the mystics refer to as choiceless awareness. Neither concept has any meaning at the Siddhic level, because in this state of awareness, there is no one to make choices or not make choices. Such are the games that the 40th Siddhi plays, and such are the horrors with which the 40th shadow struggles. The 40th Siddhi has been responsible for what is generally termed the negative approach to realization, whereas its programming partner, the 37th Siddhi of tenderness, represents the path of the true seeker of God. Both paths are wound deeply into the human genetic storyline, and both paths will eventually have to be transcended and left behind in order for the true state of realization to bloom. Despite its paradoxes, the 40th Siddhi remains one of the great mystical chess pieces in human evolution. In the teaching known as the Seven Seals, detailed in the 22nd Gene Key, the 40th Siddhi represents a code in human DNA that will transform humanity on the physical plane. At an individual level, the 40th Siddhi holds the key to complete physical relaxation, in which every molecule of DNA inside your body is functioning at its optimal frequency. This requires a huge process of karmic release, which is the job of the codon ring known as the Ring of Alchemy. The four gene keys in the Ring of Alchemy will transmute your DNA so that there is no longer any interference in your physical body. As you may understand from listening to the 22nd gene key, this means that your highest subtle bodies can manifest directly through your physical body. This is the real meaning of complete physical relaxation. It is a state beyond the comprehension of your mind. It is the direct manifestation of divine will. 41st Gene Key. The Prime Emanation. Programming Partner, 31st Gene Key. Codon Ring, the Ring of Origin, 41. Physiology, adrenals. Amino acid, methionine, initiator. The 41st shadow, fantasy, the genetic wheel of samsara. The 41st gene key and its various frequencies comprise a truly remarkable archetype. It stands alone within the human genetic matrix with a very important function. It relates to what is known in genetics as the start codon. Since this is such an important gene key, it may help to understand exactly what it means. If a section of genetic code is transcribed into letters, the genetic code can be made up of combinations of only four letters, A, T, C, and G. These letters are called bases and represent the basic building blocks of the entire code. Hidden within these billions of letters are specific instructions for the body to follow. In deciphering the code of life, scientists discovered that there were places within the sequence where the body always seemed to know to begin building. They found that whenever the body sees the letters ATG in a sequence, it always acts on the instructions that follow. Thus, they call this the start codon because it operates like a front door key into the code itself. As a genetic archetype of functioning within human consciousness, the 41st gene key's message is of huge import to us all. At the shadow level of consciousness, the 41st gene key centers around the issue of fantasy and dreams. Being in the thrall of the 41st shadow of fantasy is like holding the key to your dreams in your hand, but never turning it in the lock. Whether you have this 41st shadow in your hologenetic profile or not, you are undoubtedly available for its influence, because like all the shadows, it exerts its greatest power through the collective frequency of the planet. It is because of this 41st shadow that our planet is populated by people who dream of a better life, but who, for one reason or another, are unable to bring these dreams into reality. The 41st shadow creates a continual pressure within humans. It is the pressure to evolve. When this pressure is distorted by a low frequency field, as is the current state of humanity, it becomes distorted into the pressure to feel happy. Thus begins what the ancients named the Wheel of Samsara, an endless cycle of suffering in which humans become trapped by the need to satisfy their desires. With the mass distortion of the 41st shadow, it is as though the body of humanity has misread the instructions left within its collective DNA. It all begins here, in this gene key. It is not desire itself that is the problem, because desire, the 30th shadow, comes after fantasy. Fantasy is the spark that ignites the fuel of the desire. So how is it that we have misread such a vital code within our nature? And is there anything we can do about it? There are many answers to be found within the higher frequencies of this gene key, as you shall see. For the moment, let us try and see how this shadow works and how effectively it keeps human consciousness from flowering. The key to the problem, as ever, lies within your mind. The evolutionary pressure that surges up in human beings carries our entire genetic history within it. That is, our evolution all the way from amoeba to Homo sapiens. Over half of your genetic code derives from other organisms from an earlier evolution. All this history carries an enormous weight inside you. In one sense, it drags you down, but in another, it urges you to want to break free. To face the pressure of all this past inside you takes enormous courage, and as you let it in, you want to run and distract yourself away from it in any way possible. Because of the ancestral weight carried by this shadow, it has a deep connection to human appetite and energy. This deeply uncomfortable pressure coming straight out of the 41st shadow causes us to literally hunger for a better future. By the same token, it has connections with eating, not eating and depression. The distortion of the 41st shadow can lead to all manner of weight problems and energy problems, from chronic fatigue to hyperactivity. All of these issues are ultimately rooted in the mind and its ability or inability to fantasize about the future. This shadow constantly shuffles between the dream of being full and the urge to be empty. When the gauge reads empty, you fantasize about being full, whether that means dreaming of meeting your perfect soulmate, having lots of money, or devouring a bar of chocolate depends upon your individual mind and its conditioning. Conversely, when the gauge reads full, you can sink into heaviness in which you feel weighed down by your past and you experience the urge to purge. The shadow of fantasy prevents you from feeling complete because the mind doesn't rest in the now, but swings between dreaming of the future and rehashing the past. However, the greatest problem with this shadow is that it prevents you from actually fulfilling your dreams. You become addicted to the hope that the dream brings to your mind, rather than actually launching off in the direction of the dream. This is a major reason why people live off the fantasies provided by their culture, the movies or alternative realities created through technology and the internet, which have become humanity's latest great fantasy addiction. The 41st gene key is also always involved with issues of leadership. The leader that knows how to manipulate fantasy can have enormous impact over others. The programming partner to the 41st gene key is the 31st gene key, with its shadow of arrogance. This 31st gene key's theme of leadership is marred at the shadow level by false humility, which is really the same thing as arrogance. True leaders have to overcome a deep fear of humiliation, because when the 41st gene key declares its dreams aloud and stands behind them, they risk being very easily misunderstood. Those who bring the new into the world have always faced this challenge. In conclusion, then, the 41st shadow of fantasy sets up the great Maya or illusion in which most human beings live. As a primary evolutionary pressure, it triggers a false start into a mental representation of your life, thereby short-circuiting your ability to live in the present moment. Fantasy itself is a beautiful thing, but if it prevents you from really living, it becomes an escape from life into the mind. Once you have become trapped in these addictive mental patterns, it is very difficult to recognize them and break out of them. However, in every turn of the wheel of fantasy, as the cycles of your life periodically reset themselves, there is that chance that the next time round the code will be correctly interpreted. When this happens to you, you will engage the true start codon rather than its shadow. Instead of escaping back into the vicious cycle of fantasy and hope, your higher purpose will be unleashed and will manifest in the world. Repressive nature. Dreamy. The repressive nature of the 41st shadow is about escaping life through dreaminess. These people have an agenda that is dictated by fantasy. They really do not live in the real world. Whatever you say to such people, they will interpret it through their dream. Such people do not actually want to fulfill their dreams, but are addicted to the inner world created by their minds. They are governed by deep-seated fear that doesn't allow them to have proper human relationships. This dreaminess often presents as a kind of lethargy that gives rise to the gradual breakdown of the energetic systems within the body, in particular the vascular and the digestive systems. The only way for these people to break out of their mental cycle is to begin manifesting their dreams on the material plane. Reactive nature, hyperactive. The reactive nature of this shadow can be a sheer bundle of nervous energy. These people are always ahead of themselves, being absolutely carried away on the fuel of their dreams. This kind of nature inevitably leads to burnout, as the power of the fantasy they are trying to bring into the world outstrips the limitations of the material plane. Their insatiable hunger drives them into deeper and deeper problems, whilst placing enormous pressure on their nervous system. The inevitable breakdown of such a nature is often highly dramatic and destructive for anyone else involved. The hope for these people pivots upon their ability to allow others into their inner life and relinquishing their one-pointed obsession with manifesting their dream exactly as it appears inside their minds. The 41st gift, anticipation, the ring of origin. As we saw with the 41st shadow, this gene key represents the basic pressure to evolve, to seek out new pastures and new experiences. This evolutionary impulse is the secret to the 41st gift, the gift of anticipation. There is an interesting phenomenon that occurs the more you raise the frequency, passing in and out of your DNA. You become more and more sensitive to the hidden properties in the world around you. One of the things you become particularly aware of is the presence of morphogenetic fields. Morphogenetic fields were first postulated by the scientist Rupert Sheldrake, but many older cultures have spoken of such energy fields throughout history. Essentially, a morphogenetic field is an invisible energy grid that communicates specific information across time and space. Depending on your sensitivity, you can pick up information about the past or the future from the field. The 41st gift is a particularly special gift. As higher frequencies begin to operate through this gene key, it picks up very specific information from the morphogenetic field. Every one of the 64 gene keys operates out of a particular morphogenetic field. For example, the programming partner of this gift, the 31st gift of leadership, attunes itself to all higher frequency leaders on this planet, even inspirational leaders from our collective past. Each gene key draws strength and power from those who have come before, and at the same time also attunes to those who have not yet been born. It may explain why certain people seem to have premonitions about the future. Both of these gifts, anticipation, 41, and leadership, 31, operate together, one reinforcing the other. The greatest leaders are those who build upon the past and anticipate what is coming. Likewise, people with the gift of anticipation are naturally held up as leaders. The 41st gift has a single genetic agenda. It is always attuned to the next evolutionary energetic grid that is waiting to descend into form. Behind it are hidden the blueprints of evolution itself. Which blueprint it picks up depends upon the level of frequency and the person's cultural conditioning and geography. We pick up different blueprints in different places, and as our frequency rises, the more details we see. Premonitions sometimes occur to people when their body receives a sudden surge of frequency through a shock or through being in a particular place with a very strong morphogenetic field. Most occult phenomena are the result of sudden electromagnetic surges through the 41st gene key. These impulses are often misinterpreted when the surge quickly dies back and the shadow frequency regains its grip on the vehicle. The mind paints its own fantasy of what it just experienced, and people can interpret these sensations and impressions in very diverse ways, from ghosts to past lives. When you are able to maintain a high frequency through this 41st gift, you will be able to literally download all manner of beautiful things from the morphogenetic field. All works of genius emerge from this field. Mozart is a fine example of a man with a strongly activated 41st gift. His ability to read the completed scores of all his finest works straight from the morphogenetic field is well documented, although it may not have been described in this kind of language before. Mozart was born into a world of music and was intensively tutored by his own father, one of Europe's leading musical masters. It is unsurprising, then, that Mozart picked up on the burgeoning musical morphogenetic field of his era, now known as the classical style. He anticipated its maturation and manifested it in the material plane. This is the real difference between the 41st gift and the 41st shadow. It is the difference between genius and non-genius. Genius manifests, whilst non-genius dreams. Since the start codon and its amino acid methionine are only coded by this single 41st gene key, it has a remarkable place within the system of chemical rings known as the codon rings. The 21 codon rings are threaded together as chemical chains that relay biological information between each other in a fractal manner. This method of information relay means that the body can essentially operate like a quantum biocomputer, organizing multiple levels of information in response to stimulus from the inner and outer environment. Within this interlinked ring system, the 20 amino acids can be combined and recombined to create all manner of chemistries within the body. Nested in the heart of the ring matrix sits the 41st gene key, the ring of origin, pulsing with the source code that it then transmits to the networks of codon rings. Even though we may look at DNA as a double helix with the four bases strung out along a line of code, its actual functioning within the body as a whole is in no way linear. The implications of this are astounding. Every single start codon inside every single cell of your body is electromagnetically linked to each other. This is the foundation of the holographic body, which in turn is linked electromagnetically to the holographic universe. Every impulse inside you is therefore communicated to the whole, just as every impulse within the whole is chemically mirrored in your DNA. Once you have discovered the knack of influencing your own DNA, you can literally reprogram every cell within your body. However, in order to activate secret chemical formulae inside your body that accompany the highest states of consciousness, you must learn to overcome the inertia of humanity as a whole. This is the domain of the 41st Siddhi. The 41st Siddhi. Emanation. The Ouroboros. As we have examined the 41st gene key, we have risen to the awareness wherein the physical body can be seen as a holographic mirror of the universe, the source of which is this very gene key. When we extend this model at a macrocosmic level to its ultimate frequency, we reach something both spectacular and terrifying. The question is, what does the cosmic start codon look like, and what does it mean to arrive at the source of all being? As the source of being, the 41st Siddhi is the Siddhi of emanation. Emanation is a word that has been used by many ancient metaphysical and mystical systems as a means for understanding something that is really unapproachable. One of the best known of these systems is perhaps the Kabbalah, whose central tenet is a map known as the Doctrine of Emanation. In a nutshell, the doctrine of emanation points towards a fractal model of the universe in which everything emerges infinitely as a mirror image of itself. The Kabbalists use the symbol of 10 spheres or sphira, one emanating from another, to represent the various levels of spirit descending into matter. The ultimate source, known as the Ein Sof, represents the unnameable, inconceivable, limitless light from which all else emanates. Although the Kabbalah is an incredible model of the universe, with many different uses and dimensions, it remains a flawed model because all models are flawed by the limitation of language. No language is able to approach this word, emanation. It is a word that contains the concept of infinity. The ancient Chinese named this 41st hexagram of the I Ching Decrease, which is rather profound because the 41st Siddhi is nothing less than a black hole. As you approach it, it begins to pull you into pieces. It sucks in language, it sucks in time, and it even sucks in space. It reduces everything down to nothing. It represents the source of everything. This source has been given so many names by so many different traditions as man has tried to understand it. What is so fascinating about this 41st Siddhi is that it is the source underlying all true Siddhic states. No matter what manifestation comes through our genetics, they are all ultimately grounded through this Siddhi that is not a Siddhi. In many ways, this is the nameless Siddhi, but we call it emanation because we have no other way of approaching it. There is another interesting point that emerges from deep contemplation of the 41st Siddhi. Somewhere deep within your DNA lies a code whose sole purpose is to trigger the state we call enlightenment. In certain vehicles, the body picks up a specific set of secret genetic instructions and triggers the neurological process of enlightenment. It may come as a shock to many mystical seekers that this process cannot be triggered by what we do up on the surface. Within the hologram of the universe, enlightenment is a spontaneous, acausal non-event. You could say that grace triggers this process, but the point is that it is a chemical process and no one knows why or when or to whom it will happen. It is an emanation that simply arises from an unknown source. The one whose body has undergone the process of true enlightenment cannot know how it has happened. Neither can they know to whom it has happened, because no one remains present to experience anything. This Siddhi triggers the death of experience itself, which is impossible to comprehend from outside this state. From within this state, there is no underlying agenda. Any manifestations of so-called heightened states of consciousness are meaningless. Bliss is meaningless, ecstasy is meaningless, and God is meaningless. All the other 63 Siddhic states are meaningless, since they are all subtle expressions of the prime emanation. From the viewpoint of the 41st Siddhi, everything is reduced down to mere physiology, which is why this gene key can be so terrifying for human beings. It makes a mockery of all your efforts, meditation, morality, and systems for understanding life. There is no how within this Siddhi. This is the terrifying sentence for us, because it means we can do absolutely nothing to trigger this state, which in turn means that we are utterly helpless. The one in whom the 41st Siddhi is made manifest faces a terrible dilemma. If they speak, they know they will speak with an agenda. Even if they do not speak, people will interpret this as another agenda. Such people know that they are trapped. They know that their state can never be communicated, and there is nothing that they say that can help anyone. In fact, whatever they do say will probably be misinterpreted. One thing that can be said about such people is that their state triggers great hunger in others. Whether that is a good thing or not is unknown. All they know is that for them there is no more hunger. They have somehow fallen off the wheel of samsara, and in doing so there is no longer any pressure to evolve. There is no evolution of consciousness. All evolution is a figment of our imagination and belongs in the domain of samsara itself. In a great final twist, even the 41st siddhi is sucked into the very void from which it emanates, just as the eternal serpent of consciousness, the Ouroboros, is seen endlessly devouring its own tail. 42nd Jean Key. Letting Go of Living and Dying. Programming Partner, 32nd Jean Key. Codon Ring, the Ring of Life and Death. 3, 20, 23, 24, 27, 42. Physiology, sacral plexus. Amino acid, leucine. The 42nd shadow, expectation. Waiting at the expectation station. Almost all human beings are waiting at the expectation station. Expectation is the most profound mark of humanity. It is the dream that the future holds a greater promise than the now. Somewhere inside us, we are all waiting for our lives to improve, for a great day somewhere in the future when finally all will be exactly as we dream it can be. Somehow, we will receive all the money we need, our love lives will be perfect, and we will have absolute freedom to do all the things we have always wanted to do. But not now. First, we have a few things to clear up before we can be truly happy. And so we go on, postponing and postponing, until we are old, and then, of course, it's almost too late. In fact, it's never too late to be in the now. You have only to see through the futility of your personal expectations. If you can do this totally and with absolute honesty, you will discover one of the secrets of being human and being happy. The 42nd shadow is that aspect within your genetics responsible for keeping you always sitting at the expectation station. It does this by entangling your desires with your mind. When you listen to the 30th gene key and learn more about the nature of desire, you will see that desire in and of itself is not your enemy, and as long as it is pure, it can take you to great heights. However, the moment desire becomes entangled with the projections of your mind, it can only result in disappointment. The 42nd shadow is actually one of the shadows at the source of all human mental fear, because the 42nd shadow concerns death. This is the gene key that literally programs us to die, and it exists in every living cell as a built-in design for decay. Because our neocortex perceives life as time flowing by, it is the source of our anxiety about time running out. The notion of time and your response or reaction to its passing is rooted profoundly in this 42nd gene key, which closes all natural life cycles, and in particular the 7-year cycle of growth and decay. 7-year cycles have been noted by cultures all around the world for millennia. However, the most powerful 7-year cycles are the ones that appear to govern cellular generation within the human body. There is an old adage we learned at school that every 7 years we have a new body, since most of its cells have been totally replaced. This means that every 7 years we arrive at a portal of some kind, and something must die in order for a new cycle to begin. How that transition occurs is the domain of the 42nd gift, or the 42nd shadow. The 42nd gene key is one of 6 gene keys that form a complex codon group in your DNA, known as the Ring of Life and Death. In all cycles of physical cellular mutation, life is programmed to follow the archetypal processes represented by these 6 gene keys. All cellular life begins with the 3rd gene key and ends with this 42nd gene key. The third gene key catches the essence of the beginning of life through the gift of innovation and its city of innocence. All life must innovate and adapt, beginning in innocence and gaining in experience. Through the 42nd gene key, life ends with the gift of detachment and the city of celebration. Thus, spiritual essence detaches itself.